Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And we're back. And guess what? It's our 50th episode! And we're doing so well. Look at you, Buttons. It looks like you've left home and you're now living in your car.
It's been a tough 50 episodes, guys. It's just, I lasted my money, all ran out at number 49. I've been kicked out of home. I'm in the car. But I'm happy. 50 episodes.
Yeah. I know. That's half a century.
We are still podcasting almost weekly. I mean, you wouldn't know. It's pretty much coming out every week.
Yeah, I'm going to upload one today if
you get round to it. That's awesome. That's the term, get round to it.
Well, no, if I have an opening in my schedule, I've got a very busy schedule, guys. I've got all these things to do.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, tell us, where are you?
Well, because, see, this is the thing. I'm working today because we're recording this on a Monday in New Zealand, and I do actually sometimes have to work.
Right, of course.
Sometimes. And so it's Monday morning, and in a couple of hours, I'm filming a top secret project.
Oh, really?
It's exciting, eh?
Yeah. What is it?
Are you not allowed to say who it is?
Okay, I'll tell you who it is then. Okay. Yeah.
No one listens to this podcast. Shh. We can't even say that anymore.
We're recording a music video for New Zealand superstar Benny.
Oh,
Benny.
That is awesome.
Benny. I love Benny.
We love Benny. Oh.
Yeah.
Super Lonely, that's her song. If anyone listening hasn't heard her, check out Super Lonely. It's awesome. Yeah. She's like New Zealand's Bjork. That's how I see her.
Right.
She's got the quirky awesomeness of Bjork and the music quirk as well. It's awesome.
Well, you know, she is so down to earth and she has an awesome personality. She's a cool musician. And you and I got to see one of her concerts, didn't we? Where were we when you dragged me along? Yeah, we were the oldest people in the crowd, but we were at the back. Didn't someone come up and thought, they said, hey, which one of you is her dad? And I said, him. What are you talking about? I'm not old enough to. I'm a big fan. What are you talking about? And then we yelled out, Benny, we're here to pick you up. Don't forget. Yep, what? No, well, you weren't there when we came round the back, so we've had to come through. Oh, don't get embarrassed. Come on. Put those things down. It's getting after 11 now.
You've got school in the morning, remember? You haven't done your homework.
My two dads.
My buddy went to a gig in Canada to see the Wu-Tang Clan, and Rowan Atkinson was in the crowd.
What?
And just no one could understand why Mr. Bean was at a Wu-Tang gig.
Oh, that
but,
is awesome.
He was there, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, guys, it's been a long time since we've done one, but
Today, if I get the chance, I'm going to try and do a well-known unknown.
Oh,
with,
please
with,
do.
With Benny.
Oh, yes. So, that would be amazing, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And if not, then at least I tried.
Yeah. And it's out there now. So if it's not, listeners, if it doesn't appear in this or next week's episode, you know that he didn't do it.
That'll be telling proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other news, I guess, is that I'm out of quarantine. I've done my 2 weeks in a airport hotel. Yeah, I survived. I got out. And so now I'm back home with my family.
And are you missing all of that model time? I'm just really concerned that you started a healthy habit of making World War II models.
Good. It's good you specified it was toy models as opposed to models.
Yeah.
Don't worry for Rosie if she's listening.
I was telling some people while I was there to pass my time, I was doing some modelling. And people just thought I was like taking photos of myself naked in front of the camera and things like that. I said, no, it's kit set modeling. I'm building tiny little vehicles from World War II and painting them.
Which did they think was weirder?
They thought that was weirder. For a second there, they thought I was cool. But then only a second, because then they realized, hang on, isn't he on his own? So he's just doing selfies? And then I said, no, I'm not weird. It's kit set modeling with paints and tiny decals. And they went, oh, okay, now that is weird.
That's some awesome skills there. Like,
thank you.
If people doubted your geekdom status, that's why, you know.
Who doubted that?
I was thinking, this is a general recommendation to anyone listening to the show, but we're living in this weird, extraordinary pandemic time. And you have a little item that's always going to remind you that for 2 weeks you were in a hotel, and one day you can give that to the grandkids or whoever, and it's going to have a story. Your grandpa built this when he was stuck in a hotel when the planet was shut down. And anyone listening out there, if you find yourself in a circumstance, in the lockdown or whatever, just do something that you have for the future that you can look back at it as a little totem item and go, that was when the world was shut down. I did that.
Well, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully they're not like, yeah, there's a lockdown every 3 months, Granddad. Shut up.
Yeah, this is the original. This is the first one.
We're sick of the lockdowns.
Yeah. Stan's theory is based on the idea that the world is going to get better. And so cut to 10 years' time and we're still having the same discussion, then, yeah, it doesn't quite equate.
And, of course, by then, Reese will have every single vehicle ever made during World War II. He would have moved on to World War I.
You'll have shot Benny's entire career in music videos.
So I guess the other news we have to discuss is our astonishing UK chart success. Dan, give us a quick rundown of how you saw this and where we're at in the charts.
Yeah, so Reese appeared on the other podcast that I do, No Such Thing as a Fish, and we do quite well in the UK.
It's quite well. You're like number,
quite well.
You're like
very
number
well.
Four in the UK at the moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I said quite well, because we're usually number one or two, so this is actually not a good week
for
us.
It's a slight drop down.
But yeah, so Reese came on Fish and was brilliant, but not only brilliant as a guest, but also made sure to pound home time and time again that everyone should swap over and listen to the Cryptid Factor live during the show.
I did my best to steal Fish's audiences.
Well done.
And bring them over to our side. You know, we're like the rambunctious, not that that's a word, but imagine if it was, kind of, I guess, bad boy rogue B-side show to Fish, you know,
in a way. Exactly. And we talked Bigfoot on the show and stuff. And so anyway, the show went out on Friday and I was just looking to see what kind of impact it could have had. And I really wasn't expecting this, but I thought, okay, let me check out the charts, you know.
As you do every 2 hours, just to see.
As I do every 2 hours. Exactly.
I just so happened to be checking out the charts. I mean, to be honest with you, I tripped over the charts on my way to the kitchen. And I said, clean up those charts, will you? Who's at number one? Just quietly. Oh, God.
And I'll be honest, I went right to the bottom of the charts just to see if we even got into the top 150. And we weren't there in the, like, 150 to 100. So I was like, damn. So I was just heading back up just to, you know, the top end where I live. And... And I spotted on the way at number 50 was the Cryptid Factor. I couldn't believe it. I messaged you guys. And then 5 hours later, we rose 25 spots to 25, and we're still on the rise. We're in the top 100 in Australia now. I think we're in position 44.
Wow.
This is it. We're top 50 podcasts in Australasia and UK.
I just have to ask, is this what it feels like to be, like, famous and trending? Because I've never felt this feeling before, and, you know...
Do you have butterflies in your stomach?
Yeah, wow. It's amazing. I, like, what do I do with all of this energy?
You need to sort of utilize it and make more.
Should I start modeling? Is that what I do next? Is that my next move?
I would recommend just start editing and, like, get these things done, get them out.
Okay.
Now, look, let's not get too excited. It's probably just 1 week that we're going to chart like that. But, you know, there'll be hopefully a lot of people that have tuned into us and have thought, you know what, I'm going to go do the back catalogue. I'm going to catch up on these.
Are you saying that I've only got a week to have an affair, have a drug habit, go to rehab? Like, I've got 1 week to be famous and be like live like a football player. I'm going to have no time for editing, guys. I'm going to be, like, out, like, living my life as a celebrity.
Partying. You're going to OD, right? We're going to lose you.
Yes.
Oh, God.
This is the last you'll hear of me.
Don't be the John Bonham of this group. Yeah. Because we will have to disband if you're gone. We can't do it, Led Zeppelin can't go on without the drummer.
Well, I hear you say that, you know, this is only going to happen for 1 week, but... We all know that next week, when I'm inevitably the next star on No Such Thing as a Fish, we're just going to take... Is that right, Dan? I mean, I haven't checked my emails much. It may have slipped in my email system. But like when I'm on Fish, we should expect another big surge, right?
There is, in fact, in your inbox, a request to come on Fish.
Is there?
For you to pass on to Benny, if that's okay, later today. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, she can go after me. I'll let her have the slot after me, all right?
I think it's a safer bet you don't go on it. We don't want to tarnish our success by then having people realise, it was a fluke. They're not all that strong.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Anything else, Dan?
I just got a tiny quick thing. I've been sitting at home, lazy Sunday here in the UK, reading this awesome book, The World's Weirdest Newspaper Stories.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Do you remember these books? These used to come out in sort of, there would be a whole series and they would have different, different sort of themes to them. And I just love on the cover, they've got my favorite story in the whole book. I just wanted to read it to you guys. In 1974, Uri Geller had a paternity suit filed against him by a young mother in Sweden. She did not claim that Geller was the baby's father, but that his magical bending powers so altered her contraceptive coil, it became inoperable.
No.
And then she brought it to the court, this little coil to be a contraceptive, which
Come
he claims.
On.
Like the spoons that he bent, bent it.
With his mind.
Her, yeah.
From mind afar. Bending, so.
From afar, yeah, wow. Exactly.
Wow.
I remember they used to have records as well of news stories from the radio.
Oh, really?
On record?
Yeah, on record. And then David Farrier and I did a little show on that dance music station. All these people kind of wanting dance music, but David Farrier and I wanting to, you know, talk about weird stuff. Mm. So I used to get two records and play a dance music track underneath and just randomly drop the needle on these two records at different spots. And I used to do that with the Weird News Stories LPs. And I just wondered, it's another segment that I was thinking of suggesting that we bring back. because we need a bit more music. We need a bit of liveliness. The show sometimes gets a little bit low in energy.
I'd be up for anything that's a bit alternative and different, but I'm guessing it would really depend on your location. You're in a car at the moment. So when are you going to be broadcasting from a nightclub? That'll fit in with that.
That sounds like a challenge. I'm going to now find a way to DJ and podcast.
Hitler died in 1945 via suicide.
That would be amazing. See that? Who wouldn't want to go to that nightclub?
Ow, ow, ow. The Loch Ness Monster is thought to be a giant eel. There's been over 250 sightings since 1998 through to 2015. Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah?
We'll be right back after these massages.
Chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-wow.
Honestly.
Dad, I need a lift to school. Joan.
Oh, my God.
I would seriously pay a lot of money to go to that nightclub.
We could create a new thing called Info Techno Boom. And it's music, but you also get information and facts about weird shit. So you go to clubs and you dance, but it's for the nerds that really actually are more into like learning stuff, but are there just because they've got to have a dance and maybe meet a girl.
Yeah. Oh, we got to do it.
But all of the, like, no such thing as a fish listeners could go along to it because they can sit there and use all of their random facts that they learn from listening to that show. Yeah. And go, actually, did you know that Hitler, there was a couple of attempts at his life, and one time there was this, you know, and it gives people an opportunity to have some chat.
Yeah.
Right. But the conversation changes every 30 seconds when Reese introduces a new... You wouldn't have time to get into a chat. You suddenly...
Shut up, you dick. That was bloody 2 minutes ago, that track.
All right, well, that is this week's three-way Vibus update.
Woo!
Wow. Weekly World Weird News. It's
crazy, it's freaky, watch out.
All right, should we do some headlines?
Let's do some headlines.
Yes. Yeah, go on here. The Titanic may have been sunk by the sun.
Whoa!
What?
Yep. I will say no more for now. Okay. This is new.
What?
This is breaking information.
Okay.
Wow. I can't wait for that one because at the moment my brain hurts thinking about it.
I know. Imagine dropping that during Info Techno Boom. That would. The crowd would just.
Oh my God.
That's any time they scream in Yahoo is when they hear a fact or a headline that makes them ooh and ah. Someone there with an air horn.
We should say that that is Reese doing that noise. You've done it a few times now, and it does sound like you have an air horn with you. It's that accurate. That is Reese's mouth every time you hear that.
One of my few skills. So, Ghost Hunter warns Poundland's £1 Ouija boards could unleash deadly demons.
I saw that one too. That was going to be my story, but lucky I've got a backup.
If you don't have a backup, guys, you've got to get in quick with your headline.
I know. What was your backup, Reese, by the way, just in case, you know?
My backup, rat wins medal for bravery.
No, I don't even have that one.
We have to do that one as well.
We'll do that one as well.
Okay, well, my one is potty-mouthed parrots split up by zoo bosses after egging each other on to swear.
Oh, it's another one of those articles that... You've basically just given it all to us. What else could there possibly be? I've already imagined two parrots swearing.
No.
And the zookeeper going, look, I'm going to have to let you guys go. Okay, kids are coming past here. Get fucked. Honestly, is he actually saying the F word? I don't know. I'm not sure what he's saying.
No, there's more to the story.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You go first, Dan. I'm intrigued.
Okay. So, the Titanic. We know it hit an iceberg and it went down, but there's all this mystery about what led to that moment. How did the guy not see the iceberg? You know, what did they get communications? There's all this sort of mystery about what happened. And someone has just written a new report where they believe that the sun had set off a solar flare that was so large that it hit the Earth's atmosphere and it scrambled all the instruments on board the Titanic. So much so that they think that it turned the magnetism of the actual compasses off a degree, which led them straying in towards iceberg territory as they were going. Not only that, the scrambling would have meant that all the distress signal calls that they were making out to close ships
yeah.
were scrambled and didn't make it. Because there's all these weird reports of they were sending out signals and the closest ships didn't hear it. And no one could work out why right. they weren't getting all these things. Now, the reason that this has suddenly come up is someone who studies the weather was reading all the accounts of the reports at the time. And it was a moonless night. So it was incredibly dark. So how were they going to find where the Titanic was? But what they had in the sky that night was Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights.
Yeah, I know the one.
That happens when you have a solar flare. It hits the atmosphere and it creates all these lights. So she was looking at this and she was like, hang on a second. If that was the case, this would make so much sense of all these weird anomalies that were happening on the night that couldn't be explained.
Right.
And it also bizarrely allowed for the one ship that was able to get there and save something like 700 people. It was the Northern Lights guided them towards it because they knew that that was the thing that they were told that it was near. So... yeah, but right. this is just freshly published in a scientific journal, and they think that partially our sun is to blame wow. for the Titanic sinking. A new culprit to be included wow. in the big list.
I mean, I can see how that could be the case, and people don't take into consideration massive anomalies like that. But let's rewind back to, you said it was a moonless yes. night. Do you where was
I
the moon?
I don't know where it was that night. So that's another.
Because that to me is that's a big mic.
That's a good,
drop
that's a
there.
Good point.
The moon did not what? Come out that
yeah,
night.
You're right. What am I talking about? Where the hell was the moon?
I would put the blame on the moon. Because if the moon's not coming out, you know, then you know, it's the moon's fault. It's not the sun. The sun was probably going, hey, moon, where are you? I'm going down now. You're supposed to come up. You're not even yeah. here. And the sun probably started freaking out, and that's why it happened. That's why it led to these solar blasts.
Yeah.
That's probably was because the sun was getting angry.
It was furious, yeah.
You can't blame it.
There was a guy called James Bissett, and he was the second officer on the RMS Carpathia, which received and responded to the distress calls. And he wrote in his log, there was no moon, but the Aurora Borealis glimmered like moonbeams shooting up from the northern horizon. So that's how we know there was no
right.
moon.
Where was the moon, mate? I mean, obviously he's saying couldn't see the moon. It was at its smallest peak. And all hidden behind clouds.
All hidden behind clouds. Very good point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. That, as you guys, this is really fascinating talking about how the moon hides. this is really, really quite good.
Shall I do my news?
Yeah.
Yeah, please, onto your news.
Paul Masters has warned deadly demons could be released by the one-pound boards. These Ouija boards, you know, these, have you guys had any experience with a Ouija board? I mean, I've always been too scared.
Never used one.
Yeah. So what's happening here in the UK is Poundland, for those of you that aren't familiar with the UK, is basically like the $1 shop. They sell very cheap stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Poundland are selling these boards for Halloween, basically. Paul Masters has warned that deadly demons could be released from these boards if they are put in the hands of anyone but actual mediums. Because of people who don't know what they're doing, these things are real. They're not just a joke. This is what he's arguing. Now, Paul is a member of the True Paranormal Events UK, and apparently he was gobsmacked when he saw the spirit board on sale for £1 at his local budget store. In Hull, I think it might have been.
Not Hell.
Sounds very much like Hell. he said, Ouija boards are most certainly not a toy and should not be available for kids to buy in pound shops for Halloween. Never mind adults that are not trained in how to use them. So you've got to be trained to use these things. Otherwise, you know, deadly spirits can come out of them. Now, I know we're not into ghosts, it's not because we don't believe in them. We just find it kind of like not literally not within our realm. But when he starts talking about demons and things like that, you know, it can be quite a scary undertaking. And Halloween is coming up. We've had a hellish year. people are thinking, let's do something hellish, ghoulish and frightening behavior is something people are going for during 2020, for whatever reason that is, to get their mind off the actual disastrous world that they're living in. So these things are going to be out there.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, I live in the UK, and a 10-minute walk from where I live is a Poundland. Oh, and Halloween is coming up. We could do a Halloween special where...
That's genius.
Can you do one over Zoom? Does Ouija work over Zoom?
I'm not sure. Is there a waiting room for the spirits?
Is there a plugin? Zoom needs a plugin. Like, you know, like you can share screen. It needs to be like share spirit or something like that. Like some ability to be able to, for us all to be infected by the same poltergeist at the same time. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But I have to say, with this, he's right to have concerns about it. But the truth is, you can just go online and draw your own Ouija board. Ouija board doesn't have the power. It's just literally like saying you could make your own Monopoly board at home if you wanted and play a game of Monopoly.
Talk about giving away the secrets. If Milton Bradley are listening to this, they're going to come down on your ass. Next, you'll be saying anyone can create chess.
Imagine sitting there writing out all the chance cards by hand.
Someone would have made their own Monopoly. Yeah.
Imagine if we could repackage those Pound Store Ouija boards into an actual board game. So we use the Ouija board as a basis, and we basically make a game that involves people actually doing a Ouija board session. But it's like Monopoly rules, and there's like cards and chance cards, and the spirits are playing with you. So it's like a board game, which you can play by yourself, but you're actually playing with lots of other people, which are the spirits.
Oh, that's a lovely idea. Yeah.
So it's
you
like
can you play with your great grandfather.
Yeah.
With dead people.
I play.
Yes.
That sounds wrong. That sounds really, really wrong.
I think you're onto something there, though. That's great. Being able to play games with your relatives who have passed away. First, you've got to bring them up and they've got to appear. And then you're going to be so freaked out. I think the last thing you're going to want to do is start playing battleships with them. I mean,
that's funny, because then you'll have, anytime you have those big spirit groups where someone says, I'm getting someone coming through, and it's a whole crowd, and it's going to be is them contesting. Like they're saying you shouldn't have collected 200 when you passed go that time.
Yeah. Your granddad is saying that you landed on his hotel, Paul Moore, I believe, and he did have, so you owe him rent. Yes, and also he didn't get to be the top hat, and he did actually argue that point.
Yeah, and we imagine if you're playing battleships with your great-grandfather who died on a destroyer being bombed in World War II, and you're like, yep, I sunk your destroyer, and then all of a sudden the whole room just whirlwinds and windows blow out and the candles go, oh, sorry. Oh, bit of
wait,
a sensitive
he's coming
subject.
Through. There's a big, deep voice coming through. E7. E7. E8. E9. Hit. E10. Hit and sung.
It would be terrible, because of course you don't know if they're like just around looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Just looking at your board. It's like
seeing your cards.
They're all seeing, all knowing. They can, you know, they're there. We are not supposed to be talking about ghosts, guys. I knew if I brought this thing up, it would be dangerous territory.
We could talk about time traveling aliens, but not ghosts.
Yeah,
not ghosts.
Just to pick him up, a little quibble for old Paul Masters here.
Yeah,
is he says it's not a toy for kids, but that is what Ouija boards started as.
Oh, really?
Kids toys? Yeah, they're invented, and then they got given the demonic idea off the back of it when I think some people popularized that. But no, they were very harmless kids. They were. In the way like kids do that matchmaking thing where they find out the name of the person you like by say a card, say, you know, the little tricks. It was like a little fun game to spell a name out and so on.
Yeah, that thing that you make with paper in it and you go,
boop, 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 boop. Yeah, what is that called?
And you write numbers on it, and then they say, how old are you? 7 or whatever. You go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What letter do you like?
It's called...
what is that game?
Grabby paper. What's it called?
Grabby paper.
Grabby paper.
I tell you what, I've got 5 minutes. What about a quick game of grabby paper before we have to get on the bus?
What ultimately led to the downfall of Leon's brilliant Bring the Spirits Back and match them with a board game? The names.
Grabby paper. Well, that's what you're doing, isn't it? You're grabbing the little... grabbing the paper.
Yeah, I think you're banned from naming things. I tried to stipulate this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I thought that was Dan.
It's me as well. It's Reese's the exclusive namer of things.
Stupid. Okay, well, something we do talk about as animals, and my little story, this is in the UK, Lincolnshire Wildlife Centre, and they took on 4 parrots. They're African grey parrots, and if you know anything about African grey parrots, you know that they have an incredible ability to be able to talk.
Right.
Their linguistic skills are incredible. There have been some that have been recorded having a vocabulary of up to 2,000 words.
Wow.
No.
I once counted how many words I know, and I got up to about 50.
Yeah. You start repeating. Can we go down to the shop? Shop? You want to go to the movies?
Yeah, the shop. Quick game of paper grabby.
Grabby paper. shop. We're getting in the car.
Oh, yeah. In the car.
Yeah, that's it. Write that one down. That's an extra one. So you've got movies.
Yeah, shop.
No, it's not a shop. It's a movies. In the car.
Yeah, grabby paper.
No, we're not playing that game. We're just...
It's sad how close to the truth that is. I'm surprised I even am been invited to be on a podcast with the lack of words I have. It's terrifying.
What's it called? What's this parrot called? The African?
It's an African grey, and they live to about the age of 80 years old. A test was done a number of years ago in the 70s about them, and they realized that these birds have the intellect of around a 5-year-old. So it's effectively, if you take one on, it's a really big deal if you actually adopt one of these parrots.
Yeah.
Because you're taking on a toddler but lives for 80 years. So you actually have to have a succession plan for it before you can actually take one on. Anyway, the Lincolnshire Zoo took these 4 parrots on, named Billy, Eric, Tyson, and Jade. And they joined
great
the colony.
Parrot names.
Well, they had 200 grey parrots already, right? But these 4 that they brought in, actually there's 5. There's another one called Elsie. So 5 parrots.
Okay.
Just an update to the story. This is live updates coming in.
Breaking
news.
I'm writing that down. That's another word for you too, for your vocabulary.
Oh, Elsie. Yes. 51 words. They very quickly had to separate these parrots out and put them in different parts of the zoo because they found themselves egging each other on to swear, but not only swear, to actually form sentences which made sense.
Wow.
So it's not like they were just sitting there going, fuck, ass. You know, it wasn't like an episode of Father Ted with the old priest in the corner. It was like they were actually forming sentences and replying to people. And these birds have actually really quite an amazing sense of humour. I found a page where people were talking about their African greys and what they get up to. And it says, I have an African grey named Loki. He likes to scream and mimic the sounds of things falling off the shelf. And when we run into the room to see what's happening, he says, the cat did it, bad Sammy, and laughs hysterically. And then whenever he gets mad and flies away, he can't fly very well, so he crash lands. And when they go to pick him up, without fail, every time he says, you really need to vacuum.
Amazing.
You really need to vacuum. Yeah, it is. Anyway, it's like they clearly have a really amazing sense of humor. And I actually found a YouTube clip. These aren't the actual parrots that were in the Lincolnshire Zoo, but if you just look up basically swearing African grey parrots, then you get some pretty funny videos. So I'm just gonna.
You silly bugger. Stupid bastard. I don't know.
What's he doing?
Shut up, that bastard.
Is it a bird saying that?
Yes, it's that's
wow, this is incredible.
Well, look, just quickly, while we're in the realm of animals, I'll just quickly mention this Magawa, the landmine detection rat, which has recently been given a gold medal for bravery. This is a lovely story. It was all over the world. This one is from The Guardian, and it's about this pouched rat which has cleared more than 141,000 square meters of land.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of 20 football pitches from mines. So it's a landmine detection rat. Who knew these things even existed?
So cool.
That's incredible.
So it's a giant African pouched rat, and it has discovered 39 landmines and 28 items of unexploded ordnance in Cambodia.
Wow.
And he's been formally recognized for his work and been presented with a miniature PDSA gold medal, the animal equivalent of the George Cross.
Wow.
Yeah. You can see there he is there. That's the little guy.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. He's got his little medal on. See his little medal?
That's very cool.
Rats are so cool. Why do rats get such a bad rap, man?
Well, because they spread the plague.
You spread
one plague and people they just won't forgive you for that. But yet, of course, there's amazing things that rats do. And, you know, people that are into rats really adore and love rats, keep rats, do things with them, and because they're intelligent animals. But this is a great story because it shows you that animals work alongside us to do great things. And clearing landmines in poverty-stricken areas is something that has to take your hat off to.
If I know the people from Disney are definitely listening to this podcast, waiting for great ideas. And here is one. I'm just going to say it's been a long time since Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to little Ratatouille? Like, he's finished with his restaurant. He sold that to like a multinational restaurant conglomerate. And he's moved on, and he's now wanting to give back to the community because he's so wealthy. And he goes and clears landmines. I'm just saying, it could be a really good plot for the next Ratatouille movie.
Yeah. Or, don't know, the next Ninja Turtle movie, Splinter, could get there as well. There are options. Doesn't need to be just Disney.
So he sniffs along, and this Magawa rat, he sniffs along, and then when he finds something that is metal underneath the ground, he just taps his little paw.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
that's so badass.
It's extraordinary.
And he obviously hasn't got enough ability to press the pin down on the landmine, I take
it. No, and because he's so light, you know, but I like the fact that I like to believe that he has received this medal and knows what he's done and is actually proud and just doesn't think that, you know, for a second, why are you putting this thing around my neck? You know, I like the idea, the imagination that perhaps he's looking at you and his eyes have got that kind of, did I do good, boss? Did I do good? Oh, you did. And because he's now coming up to the age of retirement.
Wow.
I just hope in this final bit of his career that the medal they've given him isn't so heavy that it's built the additional weight that would set off a mine once he...
On his last day. I tell you what, this is your last day, Magawa. Can you just wear the medal this time when you're just having a little look around?
Just for the photo shoot.
Yeah, just for the photo shoot.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Grab another rat, quickly. Yeah, they all look the same. They're not going to know. Quickly.
You know, the funny thing is, in the place where they are training this rat, I can almost guarantee you that there will be traps set by those same humans to catch mice and rats that are not part of the regime. They're just like living in the walls and, you know, and they'll be like on one hand giving this one a medal whilst at the same time killing off his buddies.
That's life though, isn't it? It's the same with humans. You know, there's good ones, there's bad ones. There's some that are annoying. There's some that, you know, we can't live without.
Well, just out of interest, where of that scale, where would I just, and like, it's like, if, am I on well, this you're, side?
You're,
sort of, this
you're
side?
Right on the fence of, you know, useless, annoying, but also, you know, now and again, you tip over into the we can't live without.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're it's fun because it's better for you to be in a sort of grey, cloudy area of is this guy worth it rather than a definite.
Is this guy worth it?
Than a definite this person is no good, which a lot of people.
Can we come up with a system, like maybe some sort of sign language of which side of the fence I'm sitting on at that stage? Just so
well,
I know.
Pretty much when you're doing this show, you're definitely worth it. But I think when we're off air, I'm not sure if anyone's, you know, honing in on what your purpose is.
Well, certainly I'm not. Certainly I'm like, maybe I need somebody to help me with
I'm going
to
laugh if Benny comes up to your window in a minute and starts tapping on your car window.
Excuse me, Leon, you're supposed to be filming my music video? What's this you're doing? You're talking about landmine rats. What's going on here?
Funnily enough, at the moment, I'm on that side of the fence for her. I'm on the useless side of the fence until I start filming, and then I go on to the quite useful side.
But then you're useless to us.
Exactly. It's hard being me. Can you see how hard it is being me?
Yeah, you're flip-flopping all over the place. You don't know whether you're Arthur or Martha. you're an incredible resource for anyone who's lucky enough to come in contact with you. So thank you so much.
That's very nice. Have you noticed that I try and steer this conversation this way each week just to get a little bit of positive affirmation?
We do.
I can see that, and I know you need it. And I know that this podcast is a session of... psychological help for you.
And I need it. Oh, my God, I need it. I've noticed
we've gone from once every other month to you're needing it now weekly, which is great. It's great for the listeners. I'm just going to get worried when you're going to start calling us every second day. Hey, we should do another episode, guys. I'm not feeling too good about myself.
When you answer the phone and you just hear the Cryptid Factor theme playing down the earpiece straight away. Oh, God.
Here we go. Buttons needs help. Quick, pretend we're doing a podcast. And we're back. Oh, thank God.
How am I doing, guys? How am I doing? Which side of the fence am I in?
All right, let's do some cryptid news.
Yes, there's been lots happening too, isn't there?
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid.
My cryptid news this week. A pile of scat photographed on a termite mound may belong to a Yowie.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, this is news coming out of Australia, and this is, again, it's on the Mysterious Universe website. Another article written by Paul Seaburn, who provided me with the amazing information that Bigfoot was possibly braiding the hair of horses in its downtime in a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
So, this is in far north Queensland, and there's been photos that have been shown of these giant termite mounds that you see with poo on the top of them. And the poo is very big, and it doesn't naturally look as if it could be any of the local animals. It doesn't look like an echidna, which is local to the area, doesn't look like it could be that. So there's a lot of chat on a Facebook page, which is the Tablelands Yowie Sightings. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to check that out, that's the place to go if you want to stay completely on top of all Yowie movement in Australia. that is your location. And the story is, you know, it sounds like it probably was not that big, except for the fact that it made Australian TV. It was on the morning TV program Studio 10 in Australia. And I'll play you guys the clip.
Locals there claim a Yowie, which is a kind of a cross between a gorilla and a man, has been stalking the area. And they say this is proof of its existence, droppings on a termite mound. Now, the photo was posted on a Facebook page that records Yowie sightings, which is run by Lionel Carroll, who joins us from Mareeba. Lionel, it's great to see you. What makes you so certain that yaois exist? Have you actually had experience with one?
Yeah, I've had a... Well, you know, I've had an experience with something that could have been one. Yes, I didn't actually see it, but I definitely believe that it could have been one.
He sounds a lot like me.
what was your experience with it, Lionel?
Well, I woke up late one night. I'm on the edge of Mareeba to strange noises in my backyard. I've marched out there, charged on out there, thinking maybe someone was trying to break into my place. So I've done the mad dash out the front, out the side door to see what was out there, and all I seen was something going over my back fence, which I couldn't explain what it was, and where I had heard and where I had seen the being or the creature moved from, there was a full-grown kangaroo leg in my backyard, just the kangaroo leg with bite marks in it.
What?
So it left me wondering what, you know, trying to logically think what could that have been.
That's astonishing.
Wow. That's amazing. How cool is that story?
Yeah, and so it's stuff like as well that in the local area, it took me a while to get my head around what they were trying to say, but there are things like sleepers, you know, the giant bits of wood that you use for trains. Bits of those giant logs, sleepers, have been found in the trees there as if someone's just having fun throwing them around. But you've got to be a sizable beast in order to do that, and that's very near where this larger than normal scat has been found. So
I wonder whether first of all, whether that scat was analyzed, because you'd really want to find out what was in it and get to the bottom of whether it is human or not. But
well, they say there's a lot that you can tell from a stool sample,
what's in the diet, how old the animal is, where it's come from,
the microbes in there, you know, whether or not there's any bacteria and stuff. And again, back to a somewhat popular theory about time traveling humans being potentially aliens, but that explains to a degree the rectal probes that aliens do, that they say that they're taking stool samples. Because there's so much that you can tell,
and so
much, you know, evidence you can find.
You can also just conduct a verbal interview with a human, though, can't you? Don't want to be pedantic, but you know, if an alien wants to know where I've been and what I'm up to, I'll tell them. You know, don't go near my bottom.
So we just want to find out what you had last night for dinner. So we're just going to put this up your anus.
I'll tell you, it was a Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, well, we've just discovered it wasn't. No, you've been lying to us. Was it? It was a gluten-free one. All right, well, that didn't show up here. Did you have something later? Yeah, I might have had some Mallow Puffs before bed. Ah, right, here we go.
I'd love it if it was behind what they find as the appetizer you haven't told them about. Oh no, boss, behind the calamari, there is the Hawaiian's just behind it. He's telling the truth.
Well, I just wanted to bring up the Loch Ness Monster, which is back in the news. So basically, a couple has spotted a bus-sized creature in Loch Ness. Yeah, this is fairly recent. There's been two sightings within a week of each other. First of all, Corey Sturrock and his wife spotted this thing in the loch. They were out walking with their dog, and they saw this thing. He says here, "I have been camping and walking on Loch Ness my whole life, and I have never believed in the Loch Ness Monster." And it's important to, you know, it's always a good article when they start off as a complete non-believer.
Yeah.
So therefore, when the belief is completely flipped, as is going to be the case with everyone once, you know, the truth about all these paranormal creatures we talk about is finally revealed, it's going to be the old egg on the face of the non-believers. So what better person to suddenly have that turnaround belief than someone who doesn't believe in the first place? They're always the best eyewitnesses.
This is why I think we need a register of what people believe now before they're proven, so that people don't have the ability to just be able to go, oh, you know, I always believe. No, you didn't. Sorry. Yeah. You didn't believe.
Yeah. We just checked our whiteboard and you're on the non-belief side. So
we need to be like Santa Claus and have like a big book of believe, not believe.
The believers and the naughty. So he says, my wife and I saw something quite extraordinary and I would like to know if other people have seen the same thing. He described the creature as eel-like, but also the size of a bus. So wow. This excites me because I'm on the camp of thinking this creature in Loch Ness is a giant eel. And so this could be firmly in that camp. Yeah. We saw the water rippling as if something was swelling. And that is what grabbed our attention, he says. We then saw this thing that looked like a massive eel rise from the water and then go back down again. And then there was a huge swell in the water when it dipped back down. It's quite extraordinary. Now, unfortunately, he didn't have enough time to capture the spectacle on his camera.
Damn it.
It was about 10 to 20 seconds. This is often the case. You see something, you're so in awe and so in shock, struck by the imagery that you're facing, that you don't think to get your camera out. And people always say, oh, why don't you take it? Well, because you just don't, because you're amazed that you're seeing something extraordinary. But he says here, whatever it was some size. Okay, so we've got that report. And then we skip forward a week and a half to another sighting, pretty much in the same place. A man who had been walking his dog along the shore spotted something unusual in the water, and this time there is a video. So he grabbed his phone,
brilliant,
and managed to capture a few seconds of the footage. The object, which appears black in color, seemed to move up and down in and out of the water. And he says, similarly, that he has been walking along this part of the beach a lot, many times, and has never seen anything in the water moving. He also, though, does say it might have been a log. So,
fair enough, covering his ground. Have you got the footage?
Yeah. So let me see if I can. There.
Oh yeah.
What? It's like a gif.
Yeah, it's definitely more in the log realm in my point of view, because it's going up and coming down, going up and coming down, as if it's bobbing up and down in the water. Looks almost like a very large bottle or something like that. One more time. Here we go.
One more time.
See that?
Yeah.
Definitely a log.
Unfortunately, there's no way that I'm firmly in the camp of that being the giant eel that was spoken of in the first article. But anyway, there we have it. But it still leads us to the fact that there's been two more Loch Ness monster sightings in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so people must be getting back up there now, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Bless
you. Well, Where are you now, Buttons?
So I'm effectively double charging now because I'm on WASP podcasting. I'm actually also filming I'm having to get to work. Whilst you've been reading your story, everybody's looking at me really angrily because I'm supposed to be like setting up the music system for Benny to be able to play her song.
So is it going to be, when we see this Benny clip come out, is it going to be half her and then it's going to cut to the three of us on a Zoom call with a log bopping up and down and some yowie scat on a termite mound?
That's what I'm hoping
for. Is this the first visual episode of Info Techno Boom?
This is our nightclub.
We're going to be witnessing an amazing artist preparing and then performing her music video, and it's going to be interspliced with us doing ridiculous facts and info about cryptozoological creatures that are more than likely logs. Thanks for listening, fans. It's been, as usual, very weird.
This was our chance. This was our chance. We're in the charts. This should have been the episode where we nailed it. We smashed it out of the park. Instead, we've got a log. We've got Leon walking us through a set.
I talked about ghosts, one of the cardinal rules that we shouldn't be doing.
Guys, that was it. That was, we were at our peak.
We have blown it.
That one episode before everybody came on and listened was our peak, and it's all downhill now.
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining the show. I knew it was a pipe dream, and I think the universe has spoken. We are back on the shelf where we should be, the third shelf up, underneath some family photos that no one looks at, squashed in beside a weird teddy bear with a missing eye. That's where the cryptid factor is and always will be. So for those of you that are managing to stick with us and find us and dust us off every week and have a good gander and then maybe just give us a little cuddle and put us back there behind the picture, we'll always be there for you too. And don't forget, if you want the visuals and you really want to see how crazy this show is put together on the fly and amongst the seven other jobs that Leon's doing at the same time, then please join our Patreon account.
I'm going to go ask if Benny wants to start a podcast because, I knew we'd have fun, but never really believed in it. Oh, wow. So, but I'll still do the fish episode next week, Dan, so that's fine.
Great. I'll be in touch.
All right.
Hey guys, hang on. Stop the music. Stop the theme tune. Guess what? Look who I found.
Benny. Yes.
Benny.
Hello.
Hey.
I found an extreme celebrity.
Oh, you've finally come through. Well, this is a first. this is groundbreaking. We can do the first version of well-known unknown for 2020. Before we chat to you, Benny, Buttons and I came and saw you in New York, in Brooklyn.
Thanks for coming.
It was amazing. Thanks. We someone came up to us and said, are you guys her dads? What are you doing? How dare you, I said.
No.
And you do a song called Monster, which I really loved.
Thank you.
As well as all your other brilliant work. Just give us a little rundown on the lyrics of that song, how that came about.
I wrote the song when I moved out of my parents' house into a sleep out in Auckland, New Zealand, and I convinced myself that I was going to get taken in the night, but actually by a human, but some humans can be monsters, so that was the kind of human that I was thinking of, and I decided to make it a kind of like happy, twisted story where it actually ends up being, I'm writing about a monster who takes me in the night, and then there's a big plot twist in the story, and the monster ends up being a good monster who's saving me from my room catching on fire.
Oh, brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's a sleep out?
Pardon?
What's a sleep out? I've never heard of that.
So it's like a granny flat.
Yeah, granny flat.
Okay, right.
Well, I was calling it an outhouse the whole tour, and then my mum was like, an outhouse is a toilet. So...
Probably the big question that we have you seen anything, has anything weird ever happened to you? Is it like you've seen any like weird lights in the skies or?
I haven't yet, but I'm waiting.
You know what? You probably will at some point, and then you'll remember this interview.
I will. I will. I definitely will.
I must chat to those guys.
I will. Yeah. I have to tell them about what happened to me.
I got a question. If one of the crazy monsters of the world could be real, like if you could wake up and see the news that says Bigfoot discovered or Loch Ness Monster or aliens have visited, what's the one that appeals to you most to be real?
I'm like a huge believer in aliens, but I don't know if I could see them. You know, I feel like maybe we just can't see them.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You feel like you wouldn't be able to see them.
Is this a good opportunity for me to tell you my theory on aliens?
Yeah.
Guys, should I?
No, please. No, actually, she might be interested in this. Let's see what she thinks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rhys. That aliens could just purely simply be us from the far, far distant future time-travelling back to visit us.
Well, I had this theory that we are bacteria. And when I made it up when I was in year 13 at high school, and then all my mates were like, no, Stella, that's ridiculous. That's not, like, what the heck. But then apparently a scientist was doing an interview, and he was like, you know, we somehow like work a little bit like bacteria. And then my friend came up and apologized to me and was like, you're right.
Wow.
Wait, so what do you mean? Do you mean we're tiny bacteria, a part of some bigger alien being?
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Yes, wow. I like
just
that.
Just how we like breed and everything.
Yeah,
it's like
we are
bacteria.
Like bacteria.
Yeah, when you zoom out with Google Earth, the further you go, the smaller we get.
Exactly.
I worked that out. Hey, Benny, I want to show you a video now, and I want you to tell me whether you think it's only just come out. It's a Loch Ness Monster video, and apparently this guy took this video, and it surprised his dog. The dog got shocked, and I want you to have a look at it and think and tell me whether you think it's possibly Nessie, or is it a log, okay? So I'm going to show you this.
Okay.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah. I lived in Scotland for a little bit.
There it is. And now here comes the dog getting shocked. There's the dog. Wow, completely shocked.
No, I don't think that was a Loch Ness Monster.
I would play it one more time. Do you think? Have a look at it. Have a look at the thing. Do you think that's a monster?
I think that's someone who has photoshopped it in or something.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, is it?
Wait, but look at look how shocked the dog gets.
No.
Is it?
The dog's going for a nice morning run. That dog saw nothing.
Okay. So do you think log or monster? What do you think it could be?
Maybe a seal, but I don't think it was actually there.
Oh, really? Do you think that was an add-on?
Maybe, yeah.
I've been watching this video for hours, and I haven't, but I like, imagine if I had been.
Hey, I've got 40 people on set waiting. I've got to take her.
Yeah,
peace out, guys.
2 minutes. We haven't finished our interview yet. We've paid good money for Benny here. And I think it's a bobbing up and down bottle of champagne.
Me too.
We're going to have to let you go, Benny, because we're very busy
Bye,
here.
Guys.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for having
Sorry,
me.
Sorry, we can't stay for longer.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all
guys.
The best.
Bye. See ya.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you next week, everyone.
Bye, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.